Bible, turn to Matthew 13. I'll pick up at verse 14. Matthew chapter 13.
Mark?
Mark, I'm sorry. Did I say Matthew? I did, didn't I? Didn't you see? Mark chapter 13. Pick it up at verse 14. That's where we are. That's where we've been. Okay. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world, until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here's the Christ," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of God, a Son of Man, coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So this whole chapter 13, we got through part of it last week. Jesus is responding to the disciples' awe of the temple and its buildings, letting them know that, hey guys, this is not going to hold up. Coming off of the judgment, right? The temple's time is done, has been judged, has been found in judgment. And so Jesus tells them, these things aren't going to stand. But he goes deeper, and he, in a very apocalyptic way, we saw last week how he's warning us that there's going to be people who are saying they're the Christ. There's people who are going to be saying they're false, they're prophets, and saying Jesus is coming, or there he is. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be distress and all these things. And people are going to take advantage of these things and try to leverage it for their own benefit in false ways. And Jesus says, don't listen. These things are normal. We live in a fallen world. There's going to be wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be hurricanes. There's going to be fires. There's going to be crime. Don't get caught up in speculation. Don't get caught up in it. Don't put your trust in institutions that can fall, that come and go. So we left off that last week. Kind of had to cut it because, you know, just ran out of time, right? But Jesus continues in the same thought at verse 14. Now, again, as we think about these things, we are And I think as every generation is, there are times of trouble. You know, and we like to worry. We like to think of what's going on. I'm sure, you know, that in every generation there's people who look back and say, oh, this is the worst it's ever been. You know, and I do that. I have to confess. I mean, here I'm at 57 years old, and I look at the world now, and I, you know, just naturally compare it to my idyllic 70s and 80s life I had, and go, man, it's getting bad, isn't it? It's getting bad. What's going to be here for our children? Be it politically or spiritually, we have concerns, and rightfully so. But we must resist that urge to comfort ourselves with false speculation and consideration. Jesus wants to make sure we are placing our hope in the proper place. And that's what he continues to do for us here. So at verse 14, it mentions this, when you see the abomination that causes desolation. Okay, so what in the world? Right? I don't know what's going on here. Now, this is a term that comes out of the Old Testament. Daniel, several places, have this idea of this thing that'll just defile the temple. That's really the focus of it. There are several places in Daniel 8:13, 9:27, chapter 12, verse 11. And some have seen that prophecy out of Daniel had occurred in 168 BC when this man Antiochus IV Epiphanes in his rule over Judea at the time was sought to snuff out Judaism in its entirety, went in the temple, put a pagan altar in the temple, slaughtered pigs, and defiled the temple, made it unworshipable, so to speak. Okay, because of its defilement. And many, like in the book of 1 Maccabees, refer to that as that abomination that causes desolation. Something that causes destruction. And so we have that. But what are we referring to here? Right, what is Jesus trying to tell us here? I think that, again, as we take the context of what he's talking about here, in the context of talking about the temple, and we'll see later too, he's referring to an event for these first, second generation Christians. Okay? He's saying that this is going to happen. And so, again, we're not sure. He doesn't give us specifics. We don't know specifics. Some think it's, you know, when Rome finally, you know, sacked the place where the temple got finally destroyed. Something along those lines. We're not exactly sure. But we do know that I believe it's talking about this particular thing and probably talking about a person that's going to do this. Now, why is that important? Why? Well, again, he's reminding us of these things that can happen. He's specifically addressing the disciples' love and admiration of the temple. He wants to give them warning. He's also preparing them then for their lives and for us too. Again, as he's emphasizing this normality of these problems that we will have in this world. And so he lets us know, yes, and even when we see this, and it could get bad. In fact, it's going to get bad. And when it gets bad, you know, it's okay. Get out of there. Now, sometimes, why didn't Jesus tell the disciples to get out of there when he knew that was going to happen to them? Well, there's a difference between, you know, dying or standing up for the gospel and dying or standing up for a temple that's going to be destroyed, right? I mean, we don't need to stand up for foolish things, all right? So we can consider, hey, things get bad? Well, do what you can to relieve. Give relief to yourselves and your family and friends. But again, the pictures of it will be dreadful. That we can expect hard things. Again, my heart goes out. I just happened to be reading this week, and I mentioned my prayer. These people in India, they're Muslim, they converted, and were immediately killed. We're hearing more and more of Christian slaughters in Nigeria. We're hearing of Christian persecutions in Iran right now that are real, very frightening. People being killed. And so Jesus tells us, don't be surprised. Let the reader understand. Let those people right there understand, I'm talking about this right now. Now, there are some, and there's something he said too of, you know, remember the idea of prophetic mountains, right? How a prophecy for one thing that can also be echo towards something later on, like a distant, you know, in a distant mountain here. Some kind of look at this and maybe see this as a picture of like the beast from Revelation, possibly. Okay, yeah, maybe. Yeah. But here it's just not clear what we're talking about, and that's okay. And I think Jesus' whole point here in some ways was saying, hey, don't get caught up in speculation. These things are going to happen. You've been warned. But hey, you're going to be okay. All right. That was not the point. And he repeats himself again. We're seeing this kind of a chiastic form where he reminds again to not be deceived. In verses 21, it says there then, I've warned you now, don't be deceived. Someone says, here's the Christ, or there he is. False prophets, false messiahs. And here, look what it says. They will even perform miracles and signs. Right? So even in this time, again, we're not talking about pointing the end yet. We don't know the end, but there's going to be times where we're going to see, and again, there are examples from the first century, every on and on and on, through Europe, into our history, into our United States history now, of people who come up with false speculations. Some of them can be, you know, we've seen ridiculous ones where people sold everything, put on white robes and stood on a mountain on a certain date, and, you know, it was 18, I remember one, well, you know, a couple I've heard about it. But, you know, and then, of course, being very disappointed, running back into town and seeing they get their stuff back. Right? You know, there's times where, you know, people predict the end of the world and it doesn't happen. And then the guy, you know, literally says, it's okay, folks. I'm sorry. My math was off a little bit. Didn't carry the two, whatever it was. And then it's going to be, you know, and on and on and on and on. And there's part of us that wants that. There's something, we get some security, maybe some sense of control if we can know what's happening and, you know, and try to make sense of this, the chaos or the terribleness of our lives, but it doesn't work that way. And Jesus is warning us. When that person on the television says, the Lord, you know, hey, this happened, this happened, this happened in the world, Ukraine, blah, 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 whatever. This means that Jesus is going to be coming probably in the next year or two. Don't believe it. Maybe. But whoever told you that does not know. And that is what Jesus is trying to get across to us here. Don't be deceived by these things. All these things are normal. Watch out. This section, starting at verse 5 through verse 23, that is what Jesus is trying to hammer into us over and over again. Be on the alert. Watch out. Don't get sucked in. Know these things are normal. Know these things are going to happen. You live in a fallen world. And human nature is going to just keep on taking it further and further and further. Don't be surprised. But rather, gather as my church. Be together. Focus on the truth. Focus on helping each other. On my word and learning and be encouraged by that. On living cross-shaped lives and cross-shaped communities. That show people there is a better way, even as they are walking around in the mud and grime of their own making. It is better. And they can see that. It's interesting, I was just reading an article of a book I might have to get, and he's looking at, you know, how do we live in the, you know, in our times now that are increasingly more and more secular? And it was interesting, he's a historian, he went back and he's kind of comparing our world today with like, how did the first century Christians do it, right? Because there wasn't a Christian world then. And he saw some amazing parallels of the paganism of Rome with our current culture and that we live in now. And it's fascinating. That's what we're dealing with. You know, that, hey, okay. It's, again, not shocking our culture is doing the things it is. We should not be surprised. We shouldn't get bent out of shape. We, you know, stand up for truth, stand up for righteousness, show a world that what a Christian life is really about, but this is not surprising. And so we should not be. So, what then are we looking forward to? And that brings us to this last section when the Son of Man does return. In verse 24 then, he goes into this some language of a real shakeup. These images, the sun will be dark, the moon will have its light, stars will fall in the sky, these kind of things, pull right out of the Old Testament. Isaiah 13:10, Joel 2:10, Joel 3:4, Joel 20. Okay, these are very common metaphors or images or pictures of you know, a poetic shaking up of things. And when these things happen, when this cosmic event is going to take place that's going to shake the very foundations of the universes, we will see the Son of Man coming. That is the glorious hope. It's a powerful thing. You know, when that happens, and we aren't going to know, we aren't going to be warned. It's interesting, right? I mean, look at the contrast between this first section of saying, hey, folks, this is the world you're living in now. But when the Son of Man comes, it's going to be boom. It's going to happen. And you're like, whoa. And in fact, I mean, it's such a surprise that not even Jesus is going to know when that time is. Now, again, if you can wrap your mind about how that works, help me out. All right? God the Father, Son, Spirit, but only the Father knows, and Jesus, you know, I don't know. Right? That's something. But there's something there of just the surprise of what's going to happen here. When we see Jesus coming, this big event, and he's going to send his angels, and he's going to gather. It's not a, again, a little aside here. Again, as we're looking at this here, this is not a takeaway event. This is the king is coming event. You know, when a king would visit a city or town, and he's coming, the word would go out in all the countryside, and they would gather them in like this, all the people, to welcome in. And the people who were important would try to get out there even further in front to make sure they saw them first. And this is the picture here. The king is coming. Gather in. We are welcoming him here. He's here. And everybody's going to see him. Jesus then reminds us this, the lessons for the fig tree. Now again, if we hear fig tree now, remember what kind of posture your mind right away, right? It says, remember the cursed fig tree. It was a picture of this temple. And that's common through scripture. There's also, you know, other ways the fig tree is used. So, but it seems that Jesus kind of reminding us of that, but also reminds us, hey, you know how things are going, right? If the leaves are starting to sprout, you know, oh, it's spring, okay? Things are getting really bad in our world. All right. We're getting closer when Jesus comes. Now, the problem that we have, closer for me is not necessarily what God is considering closer, right? I mean, for him, it's always close. You know, it's been 2,000 years. Still really close. It could be another 2,000 years. Still really close. What we do know is that today we are closer than yesterday. And tomorrow we'll be closer than today. Understand that one step at a time. That is the picture here. Keep your eyes open and be wise. But he said, look at verse 29. Even so, when you see things happening, you know that the truth is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. See, now there's what kind of tells me that what Jesus is talking about here then is not about the second coming of Christ, but he's back talking about the temple. It kind of fits literally way here. The way he puts it, he has his things in front of how things are going to be, and he talks about the second coming of Jesus. And he goes back to talk about the fig tree and says, this generation is not going to see until all the things happen. So I really think that refers to what's going to happen at the temple. But then he goes into, again, becoming the Son of Man at verse 32. No one knows that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father. Be on your guard, be on the alert. I mean, how many times have you seen that over and over? I mean, really, folks, what's the point of this whole thing? Be in the guard, be alert, watch out. Be in the guard, be alert, watch out. That's what he wants us to know. And then he gives us this last parable of keeping watch. Don't be caught sleeping. It could be today, it could be tomorrow. It could be an hour, it could be in a year, it could be in 100 years. But we are called to be ready. That's the picture we have here. And the whole thing ends with that word, watch. I think in some ways, you know, these words of Jesus, this mini apocalypse, as Revelation and most apocalyptic sort of things are for, is to encourage us. It is difficult to see what's going on in this world. It really is. It is easy to submit to fear. What's happening in our schools or in our country, in our politics, it's easy. It is. And these words of Jesus remind us of who he is and who we are in that, and that we don't have to be afraid. Yes, it could get tough. You know? And I think it's difficult for us here in our comfortable United States of America to really dig down to the encouragement of this. It's easy to just think, oh, you know, I can be comfortable with time. I can, you know, there's things I want to do. You know, you young folks, right? You've got your lives in front of you, and so much that's just there for you. And it's great. It's going to be tough sometimes. You're going to face things. The symmetry of this passage reminds us that to put our faith in Christ, to just the gospel, it's important. His life is important. And in the suffering, it doesn't, you know, again, what do we do with suffering? We do a couple things with it. One, we ask, what did I do wrong? Right? Cancer comes upon me. Oh, what did I do wrong? Or, Lord, why aren't you taking care of this? Lord, I've done everything you said. I'm holding on my end of the bargain, so to speak, right? Why aren't you helping out here? Or becoming angry. And say, then God must not care at all. I might as well forget about it. Or, no, it just doesn't matter. These words remind us that yes, suffering is real. It's meaningful. It's Jesus understands it. We are in the season of Lent. Jesus marching straight for that cross. He does understand. More than we can even imagine. And so these words here reminds us of that we hang on. Reminds us that this is why we are here. I was thinking that as we sang these songs today, you know, familiar in some ways, we sing through them and over and we know them. Because there are times, I mean, that's the beauty of music. I really think so. When you are in a place of despair, of darkness, something maybe the only thing you can do is hum. And it helps. I had a time 22 years ago, 3 years ago, where I suffered a great dark moment of my soul. Where I would literally, at one point, just was laying on a floor and I couldn't say anything. But words of songs would pop in my head. and it was amazing how God pulled me out of that. And then later on, I was able to figure some stuff out, and friends and people that from the church would help. You know, I mean, this is what we're for. And that's what these words are for, to encourage us, to stand strong, to live faithful lives. That's what Christ, to live faithfully every day. A little bit better, a little bit more. You know, and in that, the world will be changed. You know, we may have to flee. You never know, right? Things can get really bad. Okay. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. Not because of anything I can do, not because of anything I know, but because Jesus knows. Don't get caught up. Don't get worried. It's going to be all right. Together, we'll get through to the end. So we watch out. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for the reminder from your word that it's all the stuff that goes on in our world. And part of it, Lord, I know, is just that we just know so much. I mean, not only aware of what's going on in my community or in my state, but in my country, but you know, around the world, we just know, we see the images of the suffering and the problems. We know that this sort of stuff sells, causes clicks. So for better or for worse, Lord, we are very aware of the fallenness of this world. Help us to not despair, Lord. Help us to respond, not in fear or anger, but with the solid peace and the truth of your word. To know that we have nothing to fear. Lord, we do pray that your righteousness would be known. But Lord, we know that it is known through the lives of your people. And pray, God, that we would in faithfulness be keeping watch in these things. Again, Lord, we are so grateful. You've been good to us. Remind us, help us, encourage us. And Lord, we do ask. Even now, Lord, come. Lord Jesus, come. We pray. Amen.